And for the past, actually, couple of months now, we've been talking about what is not only our duty and responsibility, but our great privilege, and that's knowing Jesus. Amen. How many are thankful that not only through the Word of God and the Gospel and the ministry of the Holy Spirit can we know about Jesus, we can personally know Jesus? Amen. And as we've been talking about these past many weeks, it is important, it is critical, it is necessary that our lives be all about knowing Christ. When we think of, and our text is a writing from the Apostle Paul, and it's his reflection at the end of his life. And if you were to read about his life in the book of Acts and some of the things that he mentions in the many epistles that he wrote, and there's also some things in church history about what the Apostle Paul did and what he suffered for the cause of Christ. There are many, but towards the end of his life, he only had one thing in mind, and that was to know Christ in a greater way. And Paul is no more special or no more called than you and me. That was not only his will for himself. That was, and I think it was because that is the desire of the Holy Spirit, to not only know us because God knows us, he knows the very hairs that are upon our head, he wants us to know him and know him in an increasing way each and every day. And that is the message of the Apostle Paul to the Philippian church, and because that is the anointed word of God, that is the message of the Holy Spirit to us today. Amen? Some of the things that we've talked about, well, let's first look at our text this morning, and then we'll do a brief review before we take time to talk about knowing God through the power of his resurrection. And this is definitely an amen statement. How many are thankful that death could not keep Jesus in the grave? That he rose again on the third day, and he rose again in power. And according to our text today, the power that Jesus Christ was raised in that day, those 2,000 plus years ago, is the same power that you and I can live in today. Amen? Amen. You can get excited about that. You should get excited about that. Amen? Once again, our main text for these series of messages, Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7 this morning, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Let's bow our hearts together, and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to God's word this morning. Father, once again, we come before you, and we are just so grateful and thankful for the shed blood of Jesus. We're also thankful, O God, this morning for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are thankful for his anointing, and we are thankful for the Word of God. May the anointing of the Holy Spirit continue to move upon us this day. May you anoint not only the words of this speaker this morning, but may you also anoint our ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying, so that all honor and glory and praise may be unto your name in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said today, amen. Praise God. Knowing Christ, we've talked many things about this topic. And let me just go through them quickly this morning. We've talked about the areas that we can know Christ better. Amen? And isn't it great how intimately we can know Christ, and we can know him intimately. There's still more to know about Jesus. And specifically, the book of Philippians refers to three ways we can know God's love in an increasing way. Think if you would, and if you haven't read this scripture in a while or you're not familiar with it, take time to read the entirety. We're going to look at a few verses in this wonderful chapter this morning, but take a look at Romans chapter 8, and you'll notice at the end of that chapter, it talks about the height, the depth, and the breadth, and the depth of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a deep well that you'll never get to the bottom. And even though if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have experienced the full measure of God's love as demonstrated by His forgiveness of you of all of your sins, cleansing you from all sins and imparting to you His righteousness, what awaits for you a deeper revelation of the great love of God to you. And I speak this from personal experience this morning. The love of God is a deep, unending ocean. And the more you know it, the more God has for you to know. We talked about the holiness of God, without which the Bible says, no man can see God. Yet God has revealed it to us. Amen? And the manifestation of God's holiness in our lives is His glory. And even though we can't see Jesus face to face, we can experience His glory in our lives in an increasing way. Amen? And I think one of the ways that's manifested is what the Bible refers to as the hope of His glory, which we're going to talk about this morning. And then a few weeks ago, we talked about how we can know God in a greater way as far as righteousness. And I thank God for His righteousness. And the righteousness of God is not a bad word or a harsh word. It's actually a beautiful word because it not only speaks of what is right and what is wrong in the eyes of God, which is very, very important. And I thank God that God not only forgives us of our sins, but empowers us to live for Him. But there's a greater manifestation of God's righteousness in your life if you know Jesus, and that is faith. Amen? We read about it in our text this morning. We have a righteousness that far surpasses any righteousness that man can achieve through doing good works. In fact, does not the Bible say that righteousness that comes through works is not righteousness at all? It is filthy rags. But righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus is a supreme righteousness. And faith, over time, as we grow in God, grow in the knowledge of His Word, grow in spirit, and grow in truth, grows in our lives. And what a beautiful privilege that we have to know God in a greater way through these different things. We've talked about how knowing Christ is not only possible, it is attainable, even though it's increasing as we go through life, and that it's a lifelong process. And let me share with you today, if you are not happy where you are in Jesus, do not worry or fret or be discouraged. God has more for you. And let me tell you, I think this is especially important for those who have been serving God for a long time, because some folks who have been serving God for a long time long for the good old days, and what I mean by that, days where God was really moving in their lives in a powerful way, and they don't seem to sense that the vividness or that same manifestation of God's power moving in your life. Let me tell you, not only does God still have that for you, God has more. Amen? And so let us be mindful of that this morning. And that knowing Christ is something that we can do, that we need to do moving forward in our lives, and not worrying about mistakes that we have made, and not worrying about those times that we didn't measure up. I thank God that God is still a God of grace and a God of mercy. And though I stumble, if I have faith in Jesus, I shall not fall, and God will lead me on as He will each and every one of you. And in these next few weeks, we began last week, we talked about the three ways that we can know Christ, or three things that we should strive for. And the first thing is, and we entitled the message A Downsizing, but focusing our lives on Jesus. You know, two things keep us from knowing God the way God can be known and the way God wants us to know Him. And number one is just crowding our lives with a lot of things that aren't necessary. I mean, life is busy just getting through the basics with job and, you know, family and all those different things. And we just cram so much more stuff in there, especially today where, you know, we got these things. And, you know, it's always beeping and there's always something to see and something to read about. If we want to know Christ, we need to clear our mind and focus or meditate on Jesus. Amen? And we also talked about how how easy it is to allow idolatry to come into our lives, and the worst and most destructive idols aren't, you know, the false gods that different people worship in life or sins that people worship. It's things that seemingly are good in life, but can lead to become a spiritual snare in our lives where they become number one over Jesus. Such things as our career or money or fame or even relationships, even ministry can become a god if it becomes before knowing Jesus Christ in a deeper way. In these next 2 weeks, I'd like to look at the last two things that Paul says or Paul directs us as far as knowing God and what we can do to know God. Number one being sharing in His resurrection power, which we're going to talk about today, knowing Him in the power of His resurrection, but also sharing in His suffering. And I find it interesting that Paul mentions the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ before he mentions the sharing of suffering, of His suffering specifically. In fact, we're not going to get into suffering at all this week. We're going to focus on the power of His resurrection. But you would think, because before we're resurrected, we're going to go through some things as we serve Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, life, not only the good things in life, and how many are thankful for the many blessings that we have in knowing Jesus, and just the beautiful world that we live in, and dare I say, the wonderful country that we live in. It's not perfect, but how many find yourself blessed to be an American? I know I do. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else, except heaven, of course. And, you know, this morning, how everything was just beautiful driving over here early this morning. You know, the snow is still on the trees and everything. And it's just gorgeous. But life is also full of difficulties. Difficulties don't stop just because I accept Jesus Christ as Savior. After I accepted Christ as a boy, some of you maybe later, but you know, when you accept Christ, it's not like you don't have to pay bills anymore. You know, you still have to pay your bills. You still have to go to your job. You still get sick time to time. You know, thank God for healing. But we're still in weak, imperfect bodies that are getting older and so on and so forth. We still have, and knowing Jesus, we all don't become the Cleavers or, you know, what was the Father Knows Best family? What was the name? Andersons, yeah. We don't become them, you know, where if there's any, you know, we're all happy and holding hands, kumbaya, and if there's any problems in our homes or in our families, and not just the nuclear family, but, you know, extended family, it's not resolved in 30 minutes with a wise word from Ward or, I can't remember Robert Young's name. It's been too long. We still have those things. And of course, when we come to Christ, we inherit additional pressures and additional trials in our lives. Contrary to popular opinion, the world does not love Christians. In fact, Jesus put it this way, if the world hated me, it shall surely hate you. And did not the world hate Jesus as he hung on the cross, despite only doing good for them? So we can expect that as serving God. And you would think, because these are the things that we're experiencing before the resurrection, that Paul would mention first. That I may know him in the sharing of his sufferings. Oh, and by the way, the power of his resurrection. But I don't think it's by random chance or happenstance that Paul mentions the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ first. I think it's by design and for two reasons. Let's talk about them this morning. Number one, our mindset as a believer should not be as far as all of our hope and aspirations in this world here. I'm not saying that we're not to be seeking God as far as the establishment of God's kingdom. That is absolutely true. We want to see God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But what, according to the book of Titus chapter 2, is the blessed hope of the believer? And the answer to that in verse 13 is the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, His return, which with it will accompany the resurrection of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should think upon these things because it's a wonderful event that awaits you and I if we know Christ as Savior. We read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 55. Paul writes in this wonderful chapter, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory." How many of you have ever driven to Florida? I know many of you. I did once. I won't say I vowed never to drive there again. I might. But I drove one time. The rest of the time we flew down there. I'm so thankful for that. And the excitement I had about going, and I love going to Florida. You know, the palm trees and the beautiful beaches and the theme parks and all that good stuff. When I drove down, it was me and three of my buddies who drove down back in 1983, 84, somewhere around there. Florida was still down there. No, I'm just kidding. It was a state. It was Disney World, too. But we weren't thinking about the drive. You know, the drive did nothing to excite us. You know, seeing, Pedro south of the border? You know, that kind of got annoying after a while. Speaking from a Floridian. In fact, if we did not have a destination, I would have given up long, but we all would have given up long before we made it, probably even to D.C. We didn't get caught up in the tediousness and the boredom and the fatigue of driving down, you know, 23, 24 hours straight down to Florida. We were excited that we're going down to Florida. We're going to go to the beach and this park and that park and do all kinds of great things, which it did. We had a great time down there. And such it is with the Christian life. Too often believers get their attention on what their attention or hope should be on, that being the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And number one, being able to see Him as He is, which the Bible says goes beyond description, and in His presence there's fullness of joy. And so if that, you know, that will be enough, and even if it wasn't enough, but it is, the fact when Jesus Christ returns, we are going to be changed. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more parting. And you know, all the aches and pains that you might be experiencing in life, and all the sorrows that you still carry with you, even though God gives you grace to get through, will all be wiped away. You'll never have to experience them again. That is where our hope is to be. That is what we're to be mindful of. Paul just doesn't mention that here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the book of Philippians chapter 3, knowing Him in the power of His resurrection. Hey, don't get down in the struggles of this life. Keep pressing through. There's a greater life that's coming, and keep your mind on that. Says the same thing to the Thessalonian church. Last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise, and you and I who are alive shall be caught up to ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Folks, if we're to know Christ, we are to keep the blessed hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and our resurrection to be with Him forever, center and foremost in our minds. Amen? Because it's so easy, and Paul mentions this, and I'm not saying, you know, all these churches were bad Christians. They were just normal, just like you and me. There's a tendency in our lives to live in the present, kind of like, now, when I went to Florida, I went with three of my buddies, and we were all about 20 or so. How many of you have driven down there with little kids? Larry? Now, how were the kids? Seven. All right, Larry. Larry's going to share a seminar on that sometime. We're gonna set that up. You kids, you know, driving, unless you drive in the middle of the night and they sleep through it. You know, they're bored and did they complain? Were they bored? They go on and I can't take it anymore. Are we there yet? But do not we do the same thing in living for Jesus? And the reason is this, we get so focused on what's going on here, especially the bad stuff, and that's just human nature. And we forget there's a glorious day coming, and that is needful for us to keep our focus on Jesus, to keep not only serving Jesus, but doing the most important thing that's in our lives, and that is pressing in to know God in a greater way, because God has more for you. God wants you to know Him in a better way. One of the things I love about this scripture, specifically this phrase that we're looking at this morning, in knowing Christ is not only knowing the fact that we will be resurrected, but to know, present tense, the power of His resurrection. That's what I love about Scripture. It's so loaded with truth. And so it's not just saying, okay, keep the resurrection in mind, as important as that is. Say, what the Holy Spirit is saying is know the power of the resurrection, which according to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 11, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Reading that wonderful verse, the Bible says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Two promises in that scripture that the Apostle Paul also alludes to in our text in Philippians chapter 3. Number one, it is by supernatural means, the power of the Holy Spirit, that our bodies will be transformed into incorruptible bodies, and with all the other wonderful things that we talked about coming to pass. Supernatural. And it's going to happen, as we talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, in an instant. Amen? To get rid of your pain, you won't have to go through surgery. I keep wanting to talk about the resurrection because it's just so awesome. The instantaneous. But this scripture also, as well as Philippians 3, talks about how this same power is going to transform, literally transform your body into something supernatural. Like Jesus, we shall be like Him, dwells in you right now and today. This is something we can and should experience now, because it's a way that we can know God in a greater way. How does? And again, the focus of this message is knowing Jesus. Amen? And may I challenge you in your prayer life? As I was challenged, I mentioned this at the very, very beginning of this series of messages back, you know, months ago when we started. So often we seek the hand of God. Are we seeking the face of God? I think the majority of our pressing in. Does not God know our requests even before we speak them? I'm not saying we can't. We can bring our requests to the Lord. We should press in just to know God in a greater way, being like a Mary of Bethany, who sat at the feet of Jesus. But as we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can expect wonderful things, powerful things, divine or supernatural things in our lives. One of the things that I think this is why Paul put the power of the resurrection before the fellowship of his sufferings is that of divine encouragement. How many could have used encouragement this week? Nobody. I saw some nodding heads. Amen. And how many either this week or some other week needed encouragement but didn't receive encouragement from any human being? No one seemed to notice. No one seemed to care. That, I am afraid, and I'm sure all of our hands would shoot up, that, I'm afraid, happens more often than not. But bless God, if you know Jesus and you're living in the power of His resurrection, you don't have to worry about whether or not there's a place you can find encouragement, because the power of the Holy Spirit in your life will encourage you, will strengthen you, will lift you up, and give you the victory in your heart in Jesus' name. Jude talks about this in verses 20 and 21 of his one chapter book. He tells the believers that he's talking to, "You dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in what? In the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life." Hallelujah! You might never receive an encouraging word from anyone. Think of poor Joe. His family died. His wife turned her back on him, and the friends who came to encourage him did exactly the opposite. They, Job's comforters. And if you hear someone's a Job comforter, don't go to them if you're having a hard time. They'll push over the edge. Except for God. Amen? The comforting and the encouraging ministry of the Holy Spirit is supernatural, and it's not only in its origin, but its manifestation. And even though the world may be against you, you can be riding high on cloud nine because you know God is for you, and if God is for you, no man is against you. Amen? Who can be against me? As Scripture says. Divine encouragement. Bless God. And this not only relates to what we refer to as ministry, you know, whether it be preaching or song or teaching or serving or whatever it might be, but every aspect of life, because all of our lives we're called to worship God in our homes, in our family, in our job. Everything's to be a sacrifice unto God. We don't have to do it by ourselves. If we're living in, experience, pressing in step with the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus let the disciples, you know, he's letting them know he was leaving. He at numerous times, because you see it in different forms throughout the gospel, he was letting the disciples know that they were going to be the ones to preach the gospel, to establish the church. These fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, guys who were very ill-equipped to do anything. He let them know in Luke chapter 24 that the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ was going to enable them to do great things, divine things that no man could do. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. You know, there have been some weeks in my life, as I'm sure in yours. I think of Jim right before Power of One, where, you know, all this stuff is going on. You think, how am I going to do this? Wrong question to ask. The right question to ask is not even a question at all. It's just, God, send me more of your Spirit to fulfill everything you called me to do. And let me tell you, because God wants to be glorified in every aspect of your life, in your home, with your relationship with your spouse and your children or parents or whomever it might be, at your job. You might just feel overwhelmed. You might be wondering in your job. And think of this, for instance. God wants to be glorified there. He wants people to see Jesus in you. You might be, God, why did you bring me to this job? It's too much for me. That's where the power of the Holy Spirit can come in and make you successful, not for your own glory or to make you rich or anything like that, but for people to see that God can do anything through anyone. I was going to say even you, but it's true, isn't it? Divine ability. There's also divine joy. or fullness. One of my favorite scriptures from the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Why do we find ourselves so frustrated in our Christian life, in that it's absent from those three things that are mentioned in that wonderful verse? Number one, righteousness. Again, two different aspects of righteousness. It's not only, you know, the right and wrong. That's elemental righteousness. You know, we keep struggling with the same things, can't seem to move beyond that. We have little faith. We can't believe God for anything. When you're not living by faith, you're living by the other F word, that being fear. Terrible way to live, under fear. No joy in life. Life is just a drudgery. Like Larry's seven kids on that trip to Florida. I can't take it anymore. No peace. No peace is experienced, especially. Let me tell you, you know, earlier I mentioned how wonderful it is to be in America. And it is. Let me tell you, other countries, especially, you know, what we might refer to as third world countries or less developed countries. Let me tell you one thing that they don't have that we have in abundance, and that's stress. You know, there's good and bad in every society, in every culture, and you know, some of those cultures that don't have all the things that are going on are so much less stressful because they don't have to worry about all the different stuff that's going on. Just kind of get up and do their thing. And I remember being in this one island. We were building a church there in the Caribbean, Nicaragua. And you know when church started? Just kind of whenever. All right, everybody's here. They rang the bell, and then they started church, and they were done whenever. You know, there was no pressure to go here and there. It's absent so many of the lives of the believers. There's a key to peace, and there's a key to joy, and there's a key to righteousness and faith, and it's not, I'm just going to try harder, I'm just not going to think about it. It's living in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of His Holy Spirit. It's supernatural, folks. There's no 10 steps. It's someone. It is the Holy Spirit. Divine knowledge and understanding, 1 John 2:27, as for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. Where, or how, I should better say, are you going to grow in your knowledge of God, in your understanding of the Word of God, of the ways of the Holy Spirit? And you might be sitting there saying, well, through you, Pastor Randy, you're the preacher teacher. And this is true. I do have a responsibility to, number one, be prepared. Number one, to work on being able to effectively communicate what God is laying upon my heart. And the greatest responsibility that I have is the anointing. You know, the power of God. I need to seek that. But that anointing is just as essential in the hearers' lives, according to this verse, not me, to understand. Let me tell you, without the anointing, all I would see, all I would appear to be, even though the power of God might be all over me, without the anointing upon, or the moving of the Holy Spirit of God upon the hearer, all I would be a raging, and this morning, because I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, screaming madman who makes absolutely no sense at all. Does not the Bible says the things of God, the Word of God, is foolishness to those who don't believe, but to us who do believe, it is the power. You know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If you want to get, I'm not absolving myself of a responsibility to hear from God, to seek God's anointing. But if, whether it's myself or some other anointed, and let me tell you, there are people out there, especially on Christian television, that I wouldn't give you 3 cents for. It'd be very God give us discernment in this day and hour. But there are a lot of wonderful preachers and teachers online, on television and whatnot. You're not receiving anything from them. Maybe the problem isn't them. Maybe it's you and not living in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very quickly now in closing, how do we know God through the power of His resurrection? Number one, it's making the choice or the decision to move with the Holy Spirit. Two verses from Galatians chapter 5, which is a contrast between living life in the Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit, and living life in the flesh, or living life according to the old nature. Verse 16, Paul says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Verse 25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." There's an image that comes into my mind as far as how the believer is to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, the Holy Spirit is calling us to walk with Him. Amen? This is the way, walk ye in it. And God is, and we've talked about this numerous times, God is speaking, the Spirit of God is speaking to His church, and not only through His Word, as important as that is, the Spirit of God is speaking to churches and to the church or individuals in the body of Christ. Are we listening? And so it's important that we, number one, listen to God or seek out God, and we seek out what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Word, through prayer, and dare I say, and we still are and always will be, as long as I'm pastor of this church, a Pentecostal church that believes in the manifestation and moving of God's Holy Spirit, just like it was in the book of Acts, praying in the Spirit as well as with our minds, sharing, and I know I'm speaking to the choir, so to speak, this morning, but spending time with the body. Does not God use other people in the body of Christ to share words or prophecy or whatever manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit with others? And do we not, as we come together, whether it's in a room like this or whether it's just two individuals talking, and let me tell you, try not to get too much off the subject, let me tell you some of the most intense times that I've had with the Spirit of God, and that's talking with another believer in the Lord Jesus Christ about Jesus, amen? About the things of God, about the Word of God, about what God's doing. It's kind of like the disciples who were walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, you know, after the resurrection. They said, did not we feel our hearts burn within us as He opened up the Scriptures? And how many have found that to be true? As you talk to other people about Jesus, it's a way that the Holy Spirit communicates to us. And not taking anything away from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, a word of prophecy, thus saith the Lord. But sometimes a word of prophecy just comes out in conversation. The Spirit of God just speaks something to you from another individual, and they don't even know it. Searching out the Holy Spirit, the Word, the prayer, fellowship, basics. Listening to the call. Listening for the call, rather, of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just seeking out what the Holy Spirit is saying, it's listening. Let me ask you this regarding the Word of God. Do you read the Word of God? And the follow-up question to that is, do you meditate upon the Word of God or think upon the Word of God? David says in Psalm 1, "Upon your law does he meditate, the man who's like a tree planted by the waters. On his law does he meditate day and night." A lot of people read the Word of God, but I don't think quite as many meditate or think about the Word of God as far as what God is trying to say to them. Are you listening for His still small voice? Now, let me say regarding this, we must be very, very careful, because as a pastor for however many years I've been pastoring, I know it's been over 20, kind of more fingers and toes, so I don't remember. I've had a lot of people say, "Well, God told me this," and later come out, it really wasn't God. And I'm all for it, because God does speak spiritually to us. But you have to make sure that you have to be listening to hear God speak, and you have to make sure it's God speaking and not you, or not someone, you know, cares about you but doesn't have the right word for you. or even Satan himself. We talked about how he's an angel of light, tries to make that which is ugly beautiful, glorious. In Romans 8, and this is why it's important that we be people that are not only people of the Word, but people filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 16, I believe, that we are the children of God. When God speaks, the spiritual man or woman who is inside you, it will bear witness with you. Yes, this is God. Yes, it's discernment. And discernment is not only something that needs to be cultivated in the church, it needs to be cultivated in the believer. So you know when God is speaking. Amen. So I want to encourage people to listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit, but to cultivate discernment, because there's a lot of voices in the world, natural and spiritual, today. And then, of course, other ways that God speaks to us. We touched on some already, spiritual gifts of others. Again, being open, but being discerning. A lot of well-meaning people have shared what they said were prophecies that really weren't prophecies. They were just kind of hopes or good intentions or sometimes bad intentions. Dreams and visions, the same thing. God speaks through dreams and visions, but not every dream is of God. And we need to be discerning between what dream is God and what dream is I ate chocolate cake at 11 o'clock last night. And then, of course, when God speaks, we obey. Last part, and Henry, you can come. Knowing God through the power of his resurrection is not only making that decision to hear, but also keep in step. I forgot to mention that last part, but actually I did through obedience. It's listening for and listening to the Holy Spirit and then staying in step with him. But it's also putting to death the deeds of the flesh, Romans 8, 12, and 13, reading this way. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And when we share that scripture, we do, and rightly so, talk about sin. The repentant life is a life that turns away from sin and ungodliness and turns to God. But even more so, putting to death the flesh. That's kind of the basics. Stop lying, stop cheating, those types of things. But beyond that, it's turning away from self and turning to Jesus. Putting your will to death and living unto God. It's living the way Jesus lived as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. That putting to death the deeds of the flesh isn't just, okay, I'm not lying, I'm not cheating, I'm not cursing anymore. I'm being a good Christian. It's now no longer my will, it's God's will, completely and fully and wholly in my life. And even though I don't want to do what God is calling me to do, I don't want to go where God is calling me to go, I don't want to serve the way God is calling me to serve, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put to death my flesh or my will, and I'm going to serve Jesus wholeheartedly. It's the only way. It's not just striving to know the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's putting to death the flesh, which will be a constant interference between you and God's Holy Spirit. If you're living in any way, any form, in a place of disobedience, not just sin, but in rebellion, God wanting you to do or say or go someplace, and no, I'm not going to do it. You're not going to be able to fulfill that great calling to know God, and specifically to know God in the power of his resurrection. Because you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're quenching God's Holy Spirit in your life. Here's a good test. And I ended with this morning. And we talked about two things. Number one, keeping our hope in heaven and not here. But also knowing God's Holy Spirit, keeping in step with him in a greater way. Here's a good test. And it's the initial acts of the apostles, or the initial acts of the church, actually, in Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit was poured out. Reading verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And a lot of things in that verse, the thing that speaks to whether or not we're striving to know Christ in the power of his resurrection is found in verse 46. And that everything that they're doing as it relates to their faith in Jesus is with a glad and sincere heart. Why do they come together and pray every day? Or come to hear the word of God? Or come to share, you know, share a meal with other believers? Oh, it's Sunday, we got to do this again. All right, I'm going to be a bad Christian. If I don't go to church this week, I know God's going to get me. They wanted to. They were excited to spend time with God in prayer. They were excited to hear the word of God preached and taught to them. They couldn't wait. Like they had to have church every day. Imagine what an insatiable hunger they had for the things of God. They couldn't wait to be with God's people. Not only to see the people that they love, but to experience that wonderful dynamic that comes when two or more are gathered and there Christ is in his name. Gladness and sincere hearts. And if we're serving God out of guilt or out of obligation or out of habit, we need God to baptize us once again and fill us with his Holy Spirit. Amen? That we would have a renewed zeal. Let me tell you, good works will never come out of your life, out of you just trying harder or doing better. You'll never feel good about yourself trying to do it on your own. It'll only come as you press in to know the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when those individuals were filled to overflowing with the Spirit, they didn't have to try to be the church. They just were the church, because that's who they were. Amen? Let's stand together. Henry, if you would lead us in a chorus to close out the message this morning.